Jason was home for way too often with not a job or things to do, and he's a working dog. And I was like, I'm going to fucking murder you if you don't go find things to do.
And I'm not, you're driving me crazy. I'm not necessarily good at like staying on task with like home projects. So.
Now it's just like, okay, we have fucking like six hours. We got to get shit done. We handle it. It's done. We're good.
So yeah, in the beginning I was drinking a lot of Two Hearteds.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Hey, welcome back to Bad Ideas Social Club. My name's Aaron McCall.
And I'm Joe Madison, and this is a space for growers and showers and failures and friends.
This one's a little bit different because I sat down with both Jason Richardson and Corinne Hollinshead. They're the husband and wife team behind Black Napkin Takeout and Any Co. You Like Popsicles here in Grand Rapids.
The logo that you did for them is one of my favorites because I can tell they were like, just take this thing.
Dude, I think too that the direction they gave was like, make something weird, maybe a creature or something. If you can incorporate a popsicle and make it kind of like uncomfortable. And I was like, that's my sweet spot.
Uncomfortable is my sweet spot. If that's not on your website in the next month, I'm going to be very sad.
Oh, man. But Jason's culinary background paired with Corinne's perspective as an artist and printmaker kind of sets the stage for what I believe is the best burger in the city. And the most inventive popsicles that I've ever sucked down.
Oh, God. Caught me so off guard, mainly because I pictured you sucking down a burger, not a popsicle.
Oh, man. We talked about feeling the need to always be creative, performing consistently at such a high level. And we had a blast gabbing about food and the creative energy that goes into each item on the menu.
So before we dive in, don't forget to follow wherever you're listening, leave a 5-star review, and don't forget to tell your friends.
And if you want to help support the podcast, buy a t-shirt or a hoodie or something. There's a link in the episode description.
All right, give me it.
You're a nice
I gotta
host.
Tell you, I was not freaking out, but like I was getting fucking mad a half an hour before you guys got here because motherfucker across the street was like, now's the time to bring out my like super industrial
the leaf blowing people.
And then he was like, also now I'm gonna bring out this mower that I ride on that's like three times the size of what it should be, and I'm gonna ride that around everywhere. I was literally just standing at the window like,
are you kidding me?
You got 5 minutes, motherfucker. So I actually don't know the story, but how did you guys even meet?
Blue Water Grill. Blue Water Grill. Yep. And started there.
Moved back from Montana, started cooking there.
And I was serving there.
Yep.
And there we were. I'm pretty sure I was like kind of an asshole a little bit to you, and you were a dick to me for a second.
Probably.
Was that like schoolyard flirting, or was that just like, I don't fucking like this guy?
No, I did. No, I thought I was just like, he's very quiet. Like, what's going on there?
I was really high all the time.
But yeah, it turned into like friendship and then turned into more.
15, 17 years ago.
Long time ago.
Jesus.
Uh-huh.
So Jason, what is it that pulled you into the culinary space in the first place?
Just kind of got thrown into it, I'd say. Was kind of like a burnout kid, and those were kind of the jobs that were easy to get and didn't really think I'd ever do anything with it. But then I moved out west to go snowboarding, and that was it, and kind of started working in a little bit nicer restaurants, working my way up. And then one day it was just like, wow, I really like doing this and it's creative and fun. And
did you go to school for it at all? Or was it more of kind of a rock and roll approach?
I moved back here from Montana to go to culinary school and then started working in like a nice restaurant and kind of realized I was learning 100 times more every hour than I was every week at culinary school.
Yeah.
So I ditched that like really fast.
That like real life experience, right?
Yep.
What about you, Corinne? What is your relationship like with creativity as it relates to food or otherwise?
Well, so I went to Kendall and just figured I wanted to be something in art. I didn't really know what. So I tried my hand at woodworking and like metal sculpture, and then moved into jewelry a little bit, and then printmaking is where I settled.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like I like the tactile experience of like similar to like making sculptures, but different, right? Like playing with materials. So I graduated there with like an emphasis on printmaking and drawing specifically, I think was my technical, what I graduated with. I don't even really remember that well. Cause like printmaking was really small, so you couldn't necessarily major in it. So it was like an emphasis, whatever. And that kind of translated to like when we started Popsicles and like playing with like,
I was just going to
ask what we look like and branding and stuff.
I was just going to ask, how did you find yourselves opening a fucking Popsicle business? And I didn't mean the tone, but you get what I'm saying.
I like the tone. We have yet to see another one. I mean, there's been a few here and there, but we don't really see that many in the Midwest, especially because it's, what, 6 months suck. It's cold. But I don't remember exactly. We started because Jason's very great at pastries and ice cream and was already doing that in the restaurant. So we thought we were going to start ice cream.
It's going to be ice cream.
And then Jason bought a little tricycle off of eBay. Was it eBay or Craigslist?
Craigslist.
The first thing we did, I think, was like my dad and his gal's wedding party for their celebration. And we had dry ice in the bottom. Trying to scoop ice cream out of it was like, this is a fucking nightmare.
Managing the temperature of the dry ice. We just couldn't master. We didn't try very hard.
We didn't. But we were like, this sucks. Like, this isn't going to work.
I don't ever want to deal with this again. Pass. What are we going to do?
So Jason found some, that was eBay. You found molds from a popsicle place in California that was going out of business.
Yep.
And bought a few. And then he was like, there's still more. Should we have all of them? Like, because the other shapes are like Plato style flat.
Yeah.
Like there's no other shapes like our shape.
Yeah.
So he was like, let's buy all of them, like, so no one can have
we
them.
We need to be the only one.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
So then it was like a lot of YouTubing with Jason and figuring out how to like do it correctly. And then how we both do, like we're not going to like half-ass something. So like, okay, I guess we do popsicles now and we're going all in and we're going to make fucking popsicles.
Yeah.
The best way we can. So.
I think a lot of your flavors too, like they're not typically what you'd expect out of a popsicle, right? So so what does that process look like to take flavors like strawberry, basil, olive oil, or the London Fog from like concept to a real thing?
Well, nowadays it's a lot easier than in the beginning because like there's kind of like templates for some of them, at least like the base. I kind of have like an idea of what the base will look like. And then it's just kind of figuring out the amounts of everything to put in to have it taste how you want it. So like it's a little easier now, whereas back in the day, it was
a lot of trial and error.
Days of like melting down popsicles that didn't turn out because it didn't taste enough like what you wanted it to. And like the freezing process changes it so much. So like
how many different ways are there to freeze something?
Well, it turns out we were doing it incorrectly initially. Like you don't just freeze it in a deep freezer.
Yeah. We went into it like, oh, just fill up the mold, throw it in the freezer, call it a day. But doesn't freeze fast enough, gets big ice crystals, kind of like melts fast. So then we found industrial popsicle freezers.
Who knew?
So it like submerges in like a negative 10 degree propylene glycol solution. One machine freezes 40 popsicles every 20 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's so fast. Very different. Yep. So then in like smaller ice crystals, the whole batter stays together.
Yep. That you get that awesome texture of like super small ice crystals. So it's not like icy at all. It's like super smooth and consistent top to bottom. It took a lot longer to figure it out than we thought. We were like, oh, it's popsicles.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
It'll be easy.
Turns out, no.
It was not. It was not easy.
It was not easy. It was a lot of extra money that we didn't really have, savings accounts, all the other things.
Yep. Putting every little tiny bit of money we had into getting new equipment and
then eventually spare second.
Moving into like building out a warehouse for production. And
have you guys tried any flavors that look really good on paper? And then when you try it, it's like, fuck this.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Banana black sesame.
Oh God, that one.
That does sound like it would be tasty.
Yeah, huh? And it could be, but it turned out so wrong that
she needs some work.
Yeah, I want to revisit it because it was really, I mean, sesame kind of tastes like peanut butter a little bit and you like pulverize it all up. So like it was, and we don't use nuts to like try and keep it cool for like nut-free people. But it went so bad that I think it left a really bad taste in her mouth. So like, let's just not fuck with that one again.
I know you had literally a hard on for that one. He did. He was all about it for so long. Like, this is going to be the motherfucker. Like, but you played with like a truffle oil, peppercorn, strawberry.
Strawberry, peppercorn, truffle. That was pretty good, but like,
you gotta pretty be the out right. there. Yeah. Like pretty maybe four people there. Would buy one to try it, but like, it's not necessarily for the masses.
Right. Like that might sit there for a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys still held down regular jobs when you first started Any Color You Like, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
like, when did you know it was time to kind of like, okay, we're done with this. It's time to go all in on our own restaurant.
I don't think that's how we went about it at all.
Well, tell me the story.
Well, I guess specifically, yeah. Okay. So I was pushing for like a storefront. We were doing it like farmers markets and music festivals, which was cool, but it was like, okay, how do we stop like side hustling this? So we were looking just for a storefront for popsicles and we're like, we could probably swing that, like depending on rent or whatever. Like if we sold this many popsicles or whatever, we could like not work our full-time other jobs. And a friend of ours was in real estate, commercial real estate, and she was like, hey, low-key, pretty sure Rinaldi's on the corner, like, by our house in our hood is going to be available. So just FYI, because she was kind of helping us shop around. And like, well, if we're going to be there, like, we have to do hot food too.
Yeah.
Like, we have to. Like, that's been like a corner spot for food forever. Like, we have to. So it kind of evolved very quickly from like, we're going to open a little popsicle storefront to like, okay, I guess we're going to do a restaurant too.
Which was going to be pizzas.
Well, we thought we were going to get their pizza oven, but that oven was not great.
They wanted like basically retail price for like a 40-year-old pizza oven.
Yeah. Nope.
Jason was like, I love burgers. Let's do burgers.
I want to eat a cheeseburger every day. Like, let's make cheeseburgers. Yeah.
Can you explain the black napkin concept?
Smash burgers. Fried chicken sandwiches, French fries, I would say all with like a unique chef driven twist. Let me go back and say when we started popsicles, we had the template of like, this is going to be like a super normal thing. Everybody knows popsicles. We're going to do it different, but like still
approachable.
It's a popsicle. That's like one of our slogans. If people want to try a popsicle and they're like, that sounds kind of strange. It's like, it's just a popsicle.
Yeah.
It's a
few ounces. It's $4. Like, try it.
It's
whatever.
Just a
you're
popsicle.
Fine.
Like, this isn't like a life changing decision or whatever.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe. Who knows?
So then, as we were nerding out, trying to like get everything in line, we were like, well, like same thing. Like, let's do burgers and fried chicken and French fries, but like do it just a little different. Elevate it, but like still, at the end of the day, it's just a burger, like all the like ingredients that some people get weirded out by, but it's like, it's just a burger. Just try it.
Right. Here's the thing though, because I think you guys have been around for a year now, like fully open. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And you've pretty quickly have like widely become recognized as the best burger in Grand Rapids. So like, it's not just a fucking burger. Yeah. You know that.
Well, I think like, well, Jason's always very, very humble, but I think what he's getting at is like, end of the day, like we're changing elements of it and making it a lot more us, I guess, or like how our brains work. Like, it's familiar. Don't be too scared. Like, try it out. It'll probably be awesome. Yeah. You might love it. Maybe you don't. That's fine. But like, that's why we have the classic or like the Malcolm. But I guess we get to like explore our creativity, which is the whole reason we kind of started the side hustle of popsicles.
Yeah.
Was like, okay, Jason left the industry for a little while, but then you weren't really making anything your own. You started brewing beer for a little on the side, but like,
yeah, it was just kind of driving me crazy. Like, and I didn't know that I needed to be creative all the time.
It turns out you do.
Yeah.
Or we can't exist very well in an environment together. So I think it's that. I think it's like, we take simple templates that are approachable, but we do like our own thing with them. So when he says it's just a burger or just a popsicle, like, yeah, it is, but very different. But like, just try it because you're familiar with a burger, right?
You guys are cranking out some like pretty stellar features weekly.
Weekly, yeah. We do chicken weekly for Friday and Saturday. And then our burger feature is usually bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Give or take. Whenever we're feeling it. Like,
there's always something fucky about them too. Mm-hmm. And I mean that as a compliment. Yeah, like, there's always something really fun there. How are you keeping up with that level of quality and something new every time?
Constant talking. Eric, who's in the kitchen with us, who's fucking rad. We both worked with him for 15 years.
I've known him since he was in high school before he even started at Blue Water.
Like, we've kind of followed each other around jobs forever. Mm-hmm. We just have a lot of fun, like, talking about food. I mean, that's kind of what our relationship has always been, just like food forward. And where, I mean, we were roommates and stuff.
We were roommates. I mean, we definitely got into like house music and party scene together for a while. Yeah,
we were partying a lot in our 20s. Uh-huh. And
but like growing up a little bit more and having more responsibilities, like he has kids now and a family, whatever. And we all, you know, you grow up, you know, you don't just party your life away anymore after a while. You're like, okay, I want to like build some shit. So like, what are we going to build? Here we go. So I think same as him, like he's super creative, fun, playful.
Yep.
Badass worker, but you guys just
very like, out of the box thinker. Like we have different styles where I think he maybe goes a little bigger than me and I maybe go a little smaller, and then we're able to like meet in the middle, and it's like
that's cool.
The perfect dial it in. It's like the perfect thing.
Mm-hmm. It's so rad to have somebody like that around too, that like thinks differently than you, that you can just maybe just pull some silly shit out of
it. Totally.
Yeah, 100%. Like you're like, yeah, not that either one's good or bad, but it's like, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That sounds amazing. Like, we can't go that big with like something we're going to feed however many hundreds of people every week. So like, cool.
Yep.
Turn it into this. But I think that's where it happens. Like, you guys are both super creative and like, that's what keeps you going.
Sometimes it starts out one way, and then by the end of the day, it's like a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're like, we end the day and we're like, wow, yes.
Like, okay, guys, can you give me those changes again before I post all this shit and we name it?
Like, we got it now.
You know, I think the names of the features you guys are doing too are always super duper fun. That feels like another opportunity to inject your personality and your interests.
Absolutely. Me and Eric are like obsessed Office fans.
I get that.
So like, there's a lot of Office references. Been a huge Simpsons fan since I was a little kid. That was something me and my parents used to watch together, and just love the Simpsons.
I dare say you know more about pop culture because of Simpsons, or even like
I learned more from the Simpsons than I learned in school. I'll put it that.
Like always singing like something from like a musical or like referencing literature or something, and Jason's like reciting something like, oh, I'm surprised that you read that or like watched that. He's like, it's from the Simpsons. Like, I don't know otherwise.
I don't know what it was originally
from. Yeah. Amazing. But yeah, I think that's like the fun part. And sometimes like we have a list of names that have yet to be like put to a food.
Yeah. Usually it like follows the food, but sometimes there's like a name that like might not fit somewhere that we want it. And we're like, let's just like put that on a list somewhere, because that'll work for something. Yeah.
I think I've been on a mostly pescatarian diet for 6 or 8 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while. But I was outside having a meeting down the street from you guys at
the Buffalo
Traders. Yeah. Yep.
I could smell it as I was out there. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to cheat on my diet, like, it's going to be one of your sandwiches. and then I go down there and there's a line out the fucking door. And I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wild.
Is that as stressful as it is fun?
I think we're like
falling into our groove.
Way less stressed than we ever have been. Mm-hmm. It was very stressful and like anticipating where we thought we would be to like where we actually are. And in the middle part of that was very stressful of like, what the fuck did we do? Like, we thought this was going to be way more chill. Like, Jason and I didn't know we were going to have like a bigger staff. Like, we thought it'd be like him and me and like maybe somebody else to help. And like, now we have, not very many of us, but 5 of us, but we all do the work of probably like 10 because everybody busts their ass and like kills it. But so that was very stressful for a while.
For sure. Just getting back into the swing of the restaurant life again too is
it's kind of cool to do it your way though, right?
Yeah. But, you know, like leaving the restaurant industry when I was early 30s and then coming back when I was almost 40 to like pull 60 hours a week on the line, like Very different.
Yeah. Like, what have we done?
My first thought when you said 60 hours a week on the line, I was like, how's your back?
It's getting better.
Well, Jason has done, he started doing workouts and stretches daily.
Turns out you just have to exercise.
Turns out.
We'll see.
Turns out it helps.
Yeah. No, and that pretty much fixed everything. But the first 6 months were pretty brutal.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ending every day with like my back hurting so bad I could barely stand up straight. And
mm-hmm. Well, not even physically, but mentally and emotionally. It was like, whoa,
yep.
This was way more than we anticipated, which, you know, I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
When did that switch flip?
Probably about 6 months, seven.
Six for you. It was a little longer for me because yeah. I started like working on the line, which I'm front of the house, or like Expo is my favorite place in the whole world to be. But I've never been like on the line, which again, like I don't smash burgers or fry shit. Like I am. I always call myself a garbanzo bean, but it's not a garbage. What's the actual name for it? Whatever. It's like the French term for like who puts everything on the things, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for me, it took longer because I was like, wait a second. Like, I thought I would be like waiting on people and like making soda syrups.
Yeah.
And then like doing the back end of like business side of stuff, which I don't love, but I do.
Because you have to.
I have to. Yeah. Which whatever. I have like my brother's a CPA. My mom does taxes and they're all very good in that department, yeah. Which I'm not. So it's awesome to have their help. But so for me, being on the line was like a very big switch and I didn't really like feel comfortable. And like these two, obviously, like even though it's my husband and like one of my best friends, it just felt weird to like be in that environment and like hard on my body for sure. Like serving's way different than like being on a line for a bunch of hours straight. So I think that took me a little bit longer.
So you said you guys are starting to get into your flow. That can't come without burnout, right?
It's yet to be determined. It's
different. You're a workhorse. I'm a lady, right? I have like more. It's true. Like I have more emotions and sensitivities and all the things. So like sometimes I'm like, fuck, I can't just keep checking lists off every week. Like I need to recharge and whatever. So I think that's been a little bit more difficult for me personally. Mm-hmm. And like balancing like shit, like I do not have time for social stuff. Days off are pretty much booked with like family shit, once in a while friend stuff.
Is that how you recharge?
No, I like to just be quiet with my dog. Like I want to go to the woods with my dog more, but I think we're there. We're to a point where like I don't need a whole day to like recover from the week.
That's lucky.
In silence with no one.
Yeah.
So I guess, I think more or less like more energized than anything and like stoked about what we're doing and like excited to like plan more shit to make. And again, like nice to have a little bit more time to see people that we love and be with them, but it's limited still. And we know that. We knew that.
Yep.
But
so I love my wife and she works right across the hall from me and you know, we get to have lunch together every day and that's great, but I don't think I could actually work with her. That sounds awful.
No, it doesn't. That's realistic. I mean, for most people
that sounds pretty normal. Yeah.
How are you guys pulling it off?
Shit, I don't know, but it's working.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, our life has gotten better together.
It really has, like, actually.
I couldn't imagine. Like we were just talking with someone the other day about, they're like, oh, like it's probably nice to like get away from each other for a minute. And honestly, it just happened this last week where you went to a show and I stayed at home and I was, oh yeah, all right, guys night, me and the dog, like. And I don't know, about an hour in, I was like, when is she going to come home? Like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
I want to talk shit about this bad movie I'm watching with somebody. Like, just talking to the dog right now.
Yeah.
Well, which we do anyways. But I think, I don't know, I think we have a very different style relationship than a lot of people because it's same. Like, again, like parents are like, are you doing okay? Because like, if I worked with my husband, I'd probably wring his neck a little bit sometimes, which like, maybe here and there, but I guess communication works really well.
Yeah.
And we definitely practice like, okay, Corinne, are you telling me this because like you need help or like are you just bitching for a second? Because like that's very helpful. Like, Jason, don't fucking tell me an answer here. I just need to like be mad or like let this go or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Or that. I mean, I think like sometimes you gotta like discuss what percentage I have to give here.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's low. So like, cool, I'll pick up the slack on my end or whatever. So like that kind of shit is very helpful. Mm-hmm. But also we just really like to like play together and like make stuff together and like riff off each other's shit.
Yeah.
So
shoot the shit, have fun, make bad jokes. I don't know. Pretty corny, cheesy people. Yeah. All of us that work there.
Yeah.
Like everybody is super cheesy and ridiculous. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is the vibe different at work than it is outside of it?
No.
Not really.
Not really.
That's awesome.
I mean, honestly, like we have a blast together. Like we all text each other outside of work, bullshit, funny stuff, or like Instagram shit, reels, whatever.
It's kind of rad that you guys have built a space where you can just be and not have to like be on and just kind of build the culture of the company and stuff around that.
Yeah.
And then I would imagine that when people come in, they probably feel that employees.
Well, that's the thing specifically is like, it's so nice to have people like feel like, or just be able to be themselves when they're interacting with us and like people who come in, you know, to the counter, which is so nice. And like, wow, I feel like you really like care about us as people when we come here and like treat everyone the same. Like, yeah, because like we're all just like stoked to be here and make stuff.
Yeah.
And like the people who work the counter are like fantastic at it. But it's not ever like bullshit. And it's really nice that it's authentic people.
Do you guys have boundaries in place to help protect your relationship and not let maybe stresses at work get in the way?
A little bit. I mean, we're pretty good at like...
Like, we got to fuck off about this for a little bit.
you got like 3 minutes and then like, let's just be at home.
Yeah. The only time it turns into like a thing is when we don't remember, oh yeah, like we told each other and ourselves that we're going to bring this up when we're feeling like this. And when we forget to, that's when it like, uh-oh. The ship's sinking. Like, oh yeah, I was supposed to tell you, like, I have zero available for whatever you're trying to talk about right now.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much that. It's just reiterating where we are.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest part of our lives for sure. So like we talk about it a lot.
It's really cool to be able to like build something together fully now versus like we wanted to spend all of our time talking about creating shit together and growing something together. But it would always be like bitching about like our job or like not necessarily even bitching, but just talking about it. And it was like, I don't want to talk about like other stuff that we're like, that isn't ours anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that's the really cool part. Jobs that are
driving us crazy and.
Or whatever. Like we don't have enough autonomy or like, this is how I would do it. But like, I can't because we don't own it or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, whatever. We both had low points before. And again, you get 3 minutes and then otherwise this is just bleeding negativity into our shit. You know what I mean? So like you get a few minutes, otherwise, whatever.
Yep.
We're done.
I think the three of us have independently experienced that moment when you walk out of your job for the last time and you're fully doing your thing.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Me first?
Go ahead.
Jason's just giving me eyes.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, that's another story, a side story, because Jason had left his job a few times, I think, before we actually opened, because we had turned out it took a lot longer to open than we thought it would. Because that was the thing. Jason was home for way too often with not a job or things to do, and he's a working dog, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking murder you if you don't go find things to do.
And I'm not
driving me crazy.
I'm not necessarily good at like staying on task with like home projects. So.
Now it's just like, okay, we have fucking like 6 hours. We got to get shit done. We handle it. It's done. We're good.
So yeah, in the beginning I was drinking a lot of Two Hearteds.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
But anyway, yeah, I think that like I went into like the last job I had before we went all in to what we're doing. With the mindset, the mentality, and the conversation starting there of like, hey, I need a job for a while, but like whatever, our popsicles take first place. And then we were like, oh shit, we're going to open a spot. So I was like, okay, this is our main priority. So I'm going to work here. But then actually leaving there was like, holy shit.
It's fucking scary.
Oh yeah, it was fucking terrifying. Mortgage our house and like fund this project that we hope works or whatever. Like, cool. But like the feeling of, or being able to be all in on our stuff was like very fucking cool. And yeah. like a weight lifted for me, like I felt light. Yeah. I've never not wanted to go to our spot and work on our stuff ever, even if I'm like, God damn it, I'm so tired today or whatever. I've never had felt lighter and like stoked, like, cool, all right, this is all on us. And like, that's mm-hmm. terrifying, but like, we can build whatever the fuck we want. Let's go.
Oh, Garmager.
Garmager. I just remembered it. Like, I always call it a garbanzo bean grabiche, which grabiche is like a egg salad dressing, basically. But I always call myself the garbanzo bean, but it's Garmager.
Awesome. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we go topic hopping?
At the same time.
Do we have to like hit a button?
When you're gone, what do you hope people say about you?
Like dead?
Yeah, like super dead.
Oh, I don't really give a fuck, honestly. Maybe that, like, they made my day brighter sometimes or something, like, maybe their life was lighter or better or, like, brighter.
Yeah.
In some capacity. But I don't really care, though. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really, I feel like that's the real answer.
Right? Like, I don't really, like, do stuff to, like, think of, like, how people remember. Yeah, whatever. Like, maybe hopefully it was, like, a good go and some people had a nice time. Yeah.
Hopefully some people liked us.
Yeah, or not, or whatever. Maybe they'll like hate us with the passion of a thousand suns.
Well, we got one. That's all I need. I can go tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Don't.
No, oh my God. Final answer though, yeah. Hopefully their day was like a little lighter, brighter.
Finish the thought. Creativity requires
food. I don't
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
Getting out of your brain's thoughts and letting shit flow for a little bit.
I love that.
And then building with your brain in the physical realm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I can hobble it together so that it makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's like just like letting shit flow through you and not thinking about it too hard and like critiquing everything before you like
yeah.
try to build something out of it.
Yeah, just letting things be.
Yeah, or like playing.
Yeah.
Not like, I guess like turning off like the criticizing logical side. Until you're like putting it into the world or whatever as a product.
Yourself to get out of the box a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like fucking around.
Get weird with it.
Yeah.
What would your last meal be?
Oh my God.
Grilled ribeye, mashed potatoes, and gravy.
So what you make like weekly?
No other vegetables. So it's fine.
Okay. So.
Come in a little closer with the microphone.
Oh, sorry. As a first course, definitely a caprese.
Yeah.
With titties basil. Can you say, oh, you edit
say,
that maybe?
Is
that,
you can say titties.
Is that shitty? Okay. So real nice basil. Fucking killer heirlooms, mozzarella, beautiful like fruity oil and some balsamic reduction. And then some sort of bouillabaisse, seafood stew, whatever you want to call it. And then I wouldn't mind like a little bit of my mom's spaghetti sauce, half buttered noodles, half mom spaghetti sauce, dank garlic bread. And then dessert would probably be like, fuck, I don't know. I've really been on a pudding thing lately.
Your last meal is getting real elaborate.
Well, you, whatever. It's my last meal. Like, it's my last meal. And drink wise, in aviation, I'm shaken and I don't want a lemon twist with it. I want a cherry, like a good cherry, a Luxardo cherry.
Yeah, there it is.
Is that too much?
No, that's good.
That was a lot.
And then maybe an Amaro at the end. Because I really like a Nonino or something. And like an Underberg. And then I'm good. And then I'll see you guys on the other side.
What do you need the Underberg for at that point? You're about to die.
I actually like the taste of them now.
That can't be true.
It is. I really do. And even if I'm about to die, I can still like be bright and alert for it. Like... Let's go.
You're at least not going to shit your pants.
And we do Team Underbergs every day.
Really?
That's a restaurant thing.
We do.
That's our restaurant thing. We mm-hmm. do Team Underbergs
yep.
every day.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Stop being a dumbass, probably.
From Red Foreman.
Pretty much. I mean,
or your dad.
My dad was more or less Red Foreman. He was good to call me out on every time I was being a dumbass, and I learned a lot from being like, oh, shit, I'm being a dumbass. All right.
Definitely, if it's worth doing, do it right. Man, that makes it kind of hard to like even like play. But I think that was a good one for me.
I would even argue that play is part of doing it right.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, if you're gonna like go all in on that part. And also sleep on it. Because a lot of times like I'm hungry and tired and like probably shouldn't make a decision on something.
I feel like I only function hungry and tired.
Rule number one, feed your Corinne's.
What's the worst?
You'll never work a day. I don't know if that's really advice, it's but
it's definitely bullshit.
Yeah.
Same. That one infuriates that's me.
Not good.
Or real or true.
Yeah, it's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm. Like go and let God? I don't know. Like I'm gonna fucking handle my shit if I gotta handle it, I guess. Like right? Like that one yeah. That kind of shit is like, oh, like if it's meant to be, it'll be like, yeah, kind of. But like, it's also up to me to like.
Sometimes you got to fucking sink your teeth in and do it.
Get her done. Yeah. Yeah, like handle it. I think that kind of stuff. Like, just like let it go. And if it comes back or whatever, or like.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is like, eh, not for me. Yeah.
So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to yourself just starting out?
Vet everyone harder, but also lower your expectations for other people's work just in order to get your ship in the water. Like, are we valuing each other's time? Are we in communication? Are you not getting back to me? Do you clearly not really give as much of a fuck as I do? Which obviously you don't because it's mine.
Sure.
And like, I'm hiring, whatever. But like, for example, when we work together, we couldn't sing your praises high enough about like amazing communicator, like, cares about our time, like whatever, all that stuff that is really important was like, holy shit, like why can't everyone just be like Aaron?
I know, that's what I keep saying.
Amazing. But so that like flags are like, okay, like you're setting the tone of like what work you're gonna give me up front without even doing really any work first, and now I know those things to look for or talk about.
Well, it took you, I mean, geez, I think I made you that logo a year before you opened,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. Jason quit his job. Well, his first job. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So it took a lot longer than we thought.
Yeah. It was like a year and 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Took me a long time to like, don't be afraid to talk about shit that you need to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to be in that space with people you trust too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys watching or listening to right now?
There's a lot of murdery stuff or Office. My comfy Office I like, but not how you two do. Mine's Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, we're on like our fourth time mm-hmm. through it. Kind
I
of
think
thing.
You'd All enjoy right. it. Like it seems a lot like lower brow, but there's
oh, I don't need smart comedy.
No, you don't. But I'm just saying, like every time you watch it, you're like, God damn, perfection.
Oh, that's amazing. So good.
And then listening to a lot of dance music again lately. Yeah. I feel like we really started the house music train again.
House music again. If I'm at work, it's house music or like
murder podcasts.
Sword and Scale.
Love it.
Always.
Oh, you guys are crazy.
Love it. That one gets pretty fucky, but like yeah. I love it.
Yep.
Do you listen to True Crime Garage?
I could not really get into that one myself.
That hurts.
I'm not much for banter in my true crime.
Yeah, you want the story.
Yep, I want it straight up.
I also really like Nightmare Society. We like spooky stories before bed.
Oh yeah, Nightmare Society.
Ooh, I don't know that.
That one's not more. That was like not murdery. It's more like creepy like, shit.
Creepy,
I like
creepy.
Like fucked up human stuff or like, paranormal stuff. Yeah,
yeah. That one I'm was in. Awesome. Eric and I usually listen to that while we're breading chicken every morning.
Perfection.
What's your favorite thing?
Zappa.
Our dog. Yeah.
Drip drop hippie kins. About to be 9 year
old. Mm-hmm. Pitbull, blue healer.
Something. Sharpay.
Dragon. I don't know.
Something. He's got some stuff.
He has some stuff. He's a crazy boy. He's very smart.
He loves watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like he watches TV like a human being.
Mm-hmm. He'll like back and forth. Yep. Gets real into it if there's like guns or like animals.
Yep.
Jason's dad and I listen to him. I'll kind of listen to mom sometimes, but not really. Like, but he's our most best friend. Yep. And he's our everything.
Do you have any regrets?
Never. No.
Not one.
No. Everything that's happened is where we are. I wouldn't know what I know. I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be where I am.
Yeah, if it didn't happen, then I wouldn't be here. Like, thinking of all the little things that, like, led me, like, to where, like, I never would have met Corinne, or, like, never would have met Eric, or everybody, really.
Or the big things, or the big fucked up things that were, like, horrible things that you're, like, gotta shake your head a little bit sometimes when they pop in there, because you're like, oof, that was rough. But, yeah. like, I wouldn't have the empathy or the understanding or, like, the connection I can make with other people who go through that shit, or you know what I mean? Like that, or like the good wouldn't be as good if it wasn't as fucked up sometimes as it was. So like, I don't know, I guess it's like shit's messy sometimes, but here we are.
Last question I have for you guys. Are you okay?
100%.
Yeah.
Thriving.
like probably more solid, like as an individual than ever. Definitely as like a team with J8, like we're fucking fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, I think we both work really well under pressure and are learning that, like, the worst times in our life were probably because there wasn't enough to do.
Or, like a point of reference, or, like, a something to, like, work on or work toward. Like, an anchor point to, like, oh, yeah, this is what the fuck the point is today. Like,
have you always had that perspective?
Mm-mm. No. I think it was like when we started Any Color, or like kind of got serious about it. Because no, before then it was like fucking party, floaty, like, oh, connect with people, but we're not really connected. Like, we don't really spend enough quiet time with myself to listen to my own thoughts because they're terrifying. Or like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of shit.
I do.
That was 20s.
Just go party.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Like keep it going. Like,
but like
everything.
Think about real shit.
Or my own shit. Like, what the fuck am I doing to change? Like, I have to fix myself before anything else can be fixed, versus like, I'm going to go fix the whole world, because I had that hard in my 20s, which you sat through and were really nice to stick around for. But you know what I mean? Like, I was like, my heart was in the right place, but I wasn't really thinking about like making sure this was aligned
right
and good first. So like, you can't go running around thinking you're going to fix everything and everybody else when like your shit's fucked in your head. You know what I mean? So like, I guess it's that. And it really wasn't until there was like a goal that was like self-given. Can I rant for a hot second?
I wish you
on
would.
This? I do find that a lot of people, and this isn't to slight anyone or like talk shit in any way, but I guess I just think of like people who generally are like trying to find their thing.
Yeah.
And then like, wait to like pursue anything that like, matters to them.
I'm just gonna wait till like it hasn't hit me yet, and it's like
till it like comes out and gets me.
It's not really gonna hit you until you
put work
start
in,
start doing some shit.
Yeah, like, I don't think that's how that works.
Start stepping out of your box and like trying different things, and
or like work on it still, even though it's not like your whole thing. Like you choose and then you like work on it.
And then it kind of becomes like maybe an excuse for some people to keep like, well, I still haven't found my thing. And like years later, still haven't found my thing yet. But it, like, just.
It's like, yeah, but you're also not doing dick to find
you don't
it.
Just, you don't just fucking find it.
We didn't have a passion about making popsicles or like necessarily like opening a burger joint. Yeah, it was like, keep pursuing shit that's fun for you, or you enjoy doing, or like it's creative people specifically I'm referencing, but like just do your stuff, like work on creative stuff, like just to do it, just because it's good for you, right? Like it doesn't have to like encompass your everything, but like just keep working on stuff that makes you happy and like creating shit. And then we just got this sticker machine, which it's not here yet, off of eBay.
Which, yeah, I gotta talk to you about that.
Oh no. Oh. Is my heart gonna break?
It's not coming.
I literally just saw her heart break on her face.
Oh, this has been like forever.
We'll get another one.
Do you remember that bit on The Simpsons?
I will be on a podcast.
When he's like, this was the exact moment you could see his heart break.
Yeah.
That's what just happened in real life.
Okay, well, Aaron, here's the thing about Corinne. She'll find it. If she wants it, and we'll get it. So it's okay. It's like a vending, like, You know, when you go to like Meijer when you were a little kid and you put in four quarters and it comes out with like the cardboard.
Yeah.
With a sticker or the tattoo. One of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a blank one. Apparently that's not coming anymore, but it is coming because they're sourcing another one. The plan is to like do artist roll calls of whoever.
That's fucking cool.
And then like get shit printed. So like stickies.
Yeah. Like we'll print them up. Like.
Yeah. And not like a money maker for anybody necessarily.
Nobody's really going to make money.
Cause
but,
like.
But we'll like.
Put it's up, just a fun fucking thing.
We're
going to
cover the cost on all the shit.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then like a couple quarters is going to like cover like maybe the cardboard thing. Whatever. Right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But just be like a cool thing to have like rotating like different people's like work.
Oh man. Before we go, where can people find you?
In my living room, drinking Two Hearted.
No. So no. It really hasn't changed.
Yeah. Just a lot less and happy now. What are we at? 966 Fulton Street East in Grand Rapids, obviously. And we're walk-in only. We don't have a phone. So that doesn't work. Don't try to find the phone number because we ain't got one.
That's an awesome little trick.
That's about it. And then internet-wise.
BlackNapkinGR.com.
Or just Insta. We don't do Facebook, which is also BlackNapkinGR.
Don't message us on Instagram. Can I just put my order in here?
Does that happen?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
It's fine. I mean,
we don't do it. So.
Well, and like, I'm the one who like.
Sucks for them, kind of, because we don't do that.
No, we get back to people, but
we
it's
do,
like,
but we can't take their order. We see work. It like 40 minutes later. I'm like, oh shit.
Or 3 hours later. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for trying to order food through Instagram.
Yeah. Well, like, good for them, though. Going for it, you know?
They went for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if trying to order food through Instagram is going for it.
I don't know.
I think that's the least you can do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's get out of here.
After listening to their episode, I went through their Instagram and stuff, and I think the personality that they've created, not only through their product, but through their voice online, is really, really awesome. I love like the all capitals, just like yelling at you captions and the crazy names and things. Like it just speaks to their personalities.
Dude, they do a really good job. And I think that's why, it's because it does speak to their personalities and it's genuine to them.
Yep.
It's not like they're trying to like maintain this like fabricated brand, right? They're just being
right,
and that's fucking cool.
Yeah, it is super cool. I got such a positive vibe from their partnership. Like I felt as though no matter what came their way, they're gonna handle it together as a team. It's not gonna be that there's a bunch of stress on one of them. It seems like they share the load evenly, and it seems as though Corinne is there. It seems like she's incredibly positive and kind of feisty.
And man, Corinne just has this magnetic, electric personality that just like exudes creativity.
And Jason's kind of laid back and chill, but you know, ready to dive in and get the hard work done. That's kind of like a left right hook of a partnership in a business.
Yeah. And man, if you've never been, go. The curiosity and creativity is just so evident in every menu item. Like they've taken something so familiar and basic and made it something special and extraordinary.
That's a great point. Yeah. Just take the idea of a popsicle, you know, just like a red popsicle. It's like, oh no, we're going to do Earl Grey. And I don't know.
Yeah. I think the most creative I ever got with a red popsicle, and you were there. was what if we just don't tell that story? We just let your imagination
that's
go.
Great. That's very good.
No. So I tried to invent a cocktail.
Invented one.
I did invent it, but it's since been
discontinued.
It's been discontinued.
Like after first sip.
Yeah, it's been put to bed.
That was our banana and black sesame popsicle.
I called it the Omega Red.
Yeah, in one sip, and you looked at me and you said, tastes red.
It was
Red Stag whiskey.
Yeah, what was that? Jim Beam Red Stag.
Yeah.
Faygo Red Pop.
Yeah.
In a red popsicle. And can you believe that wasn't a balance?
I don't know. Sometimes the universe is unfair. The color theory was there.
No, it wasn't. Oh man, but I think another thing too that jumped out at me as being really interesting is that Jason doesn't seem to feel the pressure of coming out with something consistently that is wildly creative and awesome. And I don't get that. Like I would be so in my own head.
Yeah.
I would be fucking lost.
Yeah.
But I think what that is, I think it boils down to one thing, and that is just complete confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You can hear that too. You can hear that when they talk about what they've already built and what they're going to build in the future.
I just think that when he talked about the need to be constantly creative was when the switch flipped for him. And I thought maybe it was just, I mean, I know it's not just me, but like, it's like almost like refreshing and validating to see other people think that way. And, you know, I think for a long time I was like, oh, is there something wrong with me? I should be able to shut this off. I should be able to stop working.
Yeah.
But I think at this point in my life and in my career, I'm kind of in like the fuck it space.
Yeah.
And just letting it be whatever it is.
That's great.
And I think, you know, the more I talk to people like Jason and Corinne,
yeah,
just fucking let it fly, baby.
Yeah. No, that's a fascinating thing I've never heard you say before, is the thought of you adding stress to yourself, but now to like let that go and just, this is me, this is what I'm going to do. Use that as like a skill, as something that makes you unique. That's a powerful thing to learn about yourself. That's cool.
And at 38 years old, it's a fucking doozy.
It's a good one. Yeah. They are the couple to help you get to that point.
All right. I don't want to bum you out, but
bum me out.
The next episode's the last one for this season. It is with Edwin Anderson. He's he does a lot of creative things. He's putting his energy in a lot of different directions, but I think he's mostly known as a painter and mural artist.
That's exciting.
Here in Grand Rapids, and it's real good. And we'll see you guys next. No, that wasn't it. God damn it.
We'll see you there, babies.
All right, fine. You can have
that. No, don't give it to me. I don't want it. Sick and tired of hearing all